الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل، أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم، ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ألا وإن ربي داعي وإنه سائلي هل بلغت فقد بلغت، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, in the previous Jum'ah we spoke about the final advices disseminated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his farewell sermon. I thought it appropriate to follow the pattern of discussion and highlight the remaining wasallam until, of course, the saddest moment in the annals of Islamic history, nay in human history, and that was the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As a matter of fact, way prior to the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were many verses, at times subtle and at times explicit, regarding the inevitable death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as is the human nature, you don't grasp the indications of your beloved until he or she dies. And then you realize this is what she meant when she said, we won't be meeting again. This is the time you appreciate the subtle indications that were persisting over a period of time, but it only strikes reality after you lower him or her in the grave. Hence, this was the similar pattern with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were those subtle signs that were persisting. But given the love that Sahaba has, no person ever plans the death of his beloved, knowing very well it is a reality. Among the verses that were subtle regarding the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Surah An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. The last chapter to be revealed in its entirety, in the journey of Hajj, where Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when the help of Allah comes, وَالْفَتْحِ, and victory comes, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you find people entering into the fold of Islam in droves and numbers and scores and multitudes. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Then you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise Allah in abundance and seek forgiveness, for verily Allah is most forgiving. When we analyze the face translation of this verse, there isn't much indication. And here again, this was the difference in the wisdom and the foresight that Allah had blessed the likes of Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who at once when this verse was revealed, he said, there is a message here that the Nabi of Allah will no longer be amongst us for a long time. Other Sahaba could not understand. And that is why when someone asked Sayyidina Umar, that Abdullah ibn Abbas is such a young boy, but I find it strange you give him preference over senior people in your gathering. So Abdullah ibn Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will silence you through the knowledge of this boy. So one day he gathered certain senior sahaba. And then he called Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, listen, you people tell me this verse of the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, what do you understand in this verse? He says, well, we understand that the Quran says when victory comes our way, we must praise Allah. He then pointed to Abdullah ibn Abbas, a boy in his prime, young boy. He said, is this the same message you deduce? He says, no, there are clear signs that these are the last days of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar said that now you understand why I keep this boy close to me. Merit goes to the knowledge Allah has afforded him. And how did he deduce this conclusion? The Quran says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ, that you will see people entering into Islam in multitudes, which in essence is the accomplishment of your objective. The reason why you have come has been achieved. So now you start making preparation for your journey onwards. And hence the Quran devotes that little portion of the surah, exhorting the Nabi of Allah to worship Allah in abundance. As a matter of fact, his entire life was devoted to the worship of Allah. But Allah says, now that it is very close, accelerate your efforts. Should this injunction not then be applied to us also, that in the latter part of our life, the question we perhaps might ask, what is the latter part of our life? The Nabi of Allah has said, the average lifespan of my ummah is 60. As soon as you've passed the 30 mark, you've entered into the latter part of your life, my brother. And that is also if Allah spares us. Otherwise, the Quran says, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى مِنْ قَبْلِ. They are those that don't even reach their prime, never mind their old age. So that was the first sign that the Quran, subtle. Then Allah said, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. O Nabi of Allah, inevitably one day you will have to pass on. And likewise the world also will have to die and you'll have to move onwards. But in general context, you and them, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. We have not ordained eternity for any human. أَفَإِن مِتَّ, what if you die, will they live? No, collectively you both will have to journey onwards. So these were certain subtle verses regarding the inevitable death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the verse that was explicit was the verse that was revealed on the occasion of Uhud, when the rumor was circulated regarding the assassination of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a moment, Sahaba lost their composure. And at that time, subsequent to that, these verses were revealed. That today Muhammad is alive, and when they seen Nabi alayhi salam, it sparked new life into them. But Allah says, given one day it is going to happen. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولٌ. Muhammad is but a prophet of Allah, which has been preceded by many prophets. So what? أَفَإِن مَاتْ أَوْ قُتِلْ. If he happens to die a natural death, or assassinated, or murdered, إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, will you then abandon your faith at his death? Then listen, if that is the case, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Whoever forsakes his faith at the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not harm Allah in the least, he will only harm himself. This verse struck reality when Abu Bakr literally read it after the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar said, for a moment I fell as if this verse was revealed now. Sayyidina Ali says, the earth beneath me caved in. I sat and I heard this verse and I said, Ya Allah, this verse was in the Quran, but we never gave it the true prominence and we never contemplated. Hence it is the nature of man that these subtle indications persist from his beloved. But we only take to heed and into cognizance the messages that persisted after our beloved passes away. After the Hajjatul Wada, the Nabi of Allah then of course came to Madinah Munawwara. This goes into the last few months, nay weeks, if not days of his blessed life. The remaining days of Dhul Hijjah, he comes and he spends in Madinah Munawwara. Dhul Hijjah, the 10th year of Hijrah, and then it moves on to Muharram, Safar, and in the beginning days of Rabi'ul Awwal, the greatest human passes on. Abu Muwayhiba radiallahu anhu says, the fatal illness, which lasted for 13 days in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which proved to be terminal, and then claimed his life in the end, commenced in the following way. It was late night in Medina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to me. Ba'atha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message and said that go and call Abu Muwayhiba this very moment. I was sleeping, a messenger came to me and said, the Nabi of Allah is calling you. I got up from my sleep and I hastened and I came and I sat down by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Muwayhiba, inni qad umirtu an astaghfira li ahli hadha al-baqi. My Allah has commanded me that I go and visit this graveyard and go and make dua of forgiveness for those resting in the cemetery. فَانْتَلِقْ مَعِي. Won't you want to join me on this mission of mine? I said, O Nabi of Allah, it is my greatest of privileges, I am with you. Abu Muwayhiba says, I joined Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we entered into the cemetery. It was late night. This was a Wednesday night when this had happened. We entered into the cemetery, the Nabi of Allah stood and became very emotional. And if you study his last few days, he made a lot of dua for martyrs. In the last few days, every time he ascended the pulpit, he made dua for the martyrs, and in particular, those Sahaba who were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. He had a sense of bond and passion towards Uhud. In fact, he said, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ. Uhud is a mountain that loves us and we love this mountain. It is fond of us and we are fond of it. You know, we go to Makkah, Medina, but it is said, We do not understand the historical heritage this place has. We pass through these places knowing not that this was that land on which the Prince of Martyrs laid their lives. So we stand in Uhud and we still look at the material things. We wait for this taxi and that bus, knowing not that the Nabi of Allah stood here and cried relentlessly, unending. He says, we went to Jannatul Baqi, and then he made dua. He greeted the dwellers of the grave and he said, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al maqabir. Oh, the occupants of this grave, from the lowest part of my heart, I invoke the mercy of Allah upon you. Then he said, لِيَغْنِ لَكُمْ مَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ مِمَّا أَصْبَحَ النَّاسُ فِيهِ. Literally, you are fortunate. Literally, you are fortunate what you are experiencing in relation to the challenges that stare at us. He addressed the dwellers of the grave and he said, literally, you are fortunate. أَقْبَلَتِ الْفِتَنِ. Great trials are staring at the ummah. كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُذْرِمِ. Like a dark night. One that is to be followed in succession by others. Al-akhiratu sharrum min al-ula. The latter worse than the former. Abu Muwayhiba says, then he held my hand. He said, Ya Aba Muwayhiba, inni qad khuyirtu bayna an abqa wa ara ma yuftah ala ummati. Do you know what, Abu Muwayhiba? I was given the choice of a prolonged life, wherein I will witness the physical, material prosperity of my nation, or the choice of hastening to meet my Creator. Abu Muwayhiba says, I was still going to intercede and say, O Nabi of Allah, accept the choice of Allah and stay amongst us, so you are part of us when that prosperity comes our way. But before I could suggest, he said, فَاخْتَرْتُ التَّعْتِيلِ. I have opted for the latter one. I have opted. Abu Muwayhiba says, I realized the days were drawing closer. The moments were ticking away. ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِأَهْلِ الْبَقِي. Then he made a lot of dua. He made a lot of dua for these people. فَانْصَرَفَ. And we started returning. فَبُدِئَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَجُعُوهُ الَّذِي قَبَضَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. We barely started returning from the graveyard and he started feeling sick and, you know, unusual. And he said, I'm not feeling too well. And at that stage, it was fairly early. But this was the beginning which ultimately became terminal and led to his inevitable death. From there, we came to the house of Maymuna radiallahu anha, and he became a bit more weak. He then gathered his wife and he said, my health is not permitting. If you consent, I would like to station myself at Aisha radiallahu anha. The wives of Nabi alayhi salam, the consorts, honorably, happily consented. And the Nabi of Allah was then taken to the house of his beloved wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha describes it as he entered into the house, فَوَجَدَنِي أَجِدُ صُدَاعًا فِي رَأْسِي. As he entered, I had a severe headache. So I held my head and I said, wa ra'sa, ya Allah, what a headache, what a headache. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bal ana wa ra'sa. Aisha, you think you have a headache? Believe me, I have a splitting headache. I have a splitting headache. And Aisha radiallahu anha saying, her headache is severe. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, his was severe. And then it prompted a discussion which commonly prompts between husband and wife, who will die between us first. So they started speaking like this here. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well, Aisha, Allah knows best. I'm feeling sick, you feeling sick. But if you happen to go first, you have the consolation. غَسَلْتُكِ كَفَّنْتُكِ صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْكِ وَوَارَيْتُكِ. I will see your ghusl is done. I will see your kafan is done. I will perform your namaz. I will lower you into the grave. You have great consolation if you go before me. I will be by your side. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, she thought to, you know, blend it with a sense of what. She said, O Nabi of Allah, is that all you will do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, well, that's all about. I think I should be doing. What more should I be doing? She said, لَقَدْ خَلَوْتَ بِبَعْضِ أَهْلِكَ فِي بَيْتِ. I'm afraid perhaps you'll take one of your other wives and sleep with them in my house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam smiled, but it was going down. The health was deteriorating. In this time, he was then moved to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Many things happened in these last few days. Listen to this very attentively. And let us sit and ponder and reflect, brothers. Let us ask ourselves, Ya Allah, this were the last moments in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, what will be my last moments? Allah, where will I go? Allah, in whose lap will I die? Allah, who will be there to read my kalima? Allah, who will lower me in my grave? Anyway, he comes to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Briefly, I run you through the last few days. It is the month of Muharram now. The month of Safar. That is where the sickness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started. He dispatches the, while his illness started taking a toll on him, there were a lot of evil elements that exploited the situation. There were people that started laying claim to Prophet Hud. They said, well, this Prophet is on his way out. The world will be desperate for a leader. Let's seize the opportunity. So people stood up, raised their heads, and they said, follow us. After Muhammad is gone, we will lead you. In Nabi alayhi salam's fatal illness in that condition, he dispatched certain groups and he said, go and suppress these evils. The likes of Aswad Anasi, who was a tyrant person and would lay claim to Prophet Hud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi dispatched the great Sahabi Firoz Daylami radiallahu anhu, and this Sahabi returned one day prior to the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with victory. And Nabi alayhi salam was very happy and he made dua for him. And he said, Father Firoz Daylami biqatl al-Aswad al-Anasi, that indeed he has been successful in his mission. In this last few days also, he had dispatched the group of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu while he was on his deathbed. What had actually happened was, he prepared this expedition in the direction of a place called Ubna, which was close to Palestine. And the reason why he had nominated Usama ibn Zayd was a young boy of 17. And in that expedition was senior Sahaba, the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar. So certain other people started making nasty remarks. And they said, يَسْتَعْمِلُ هَذَا الْغُلَامَ عَلَى الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. A young boy like this is going to lead people like Abu Bakr and Umar. And this started gaining momentum. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had dispatched him to go and avenge the death of his father. His father was Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was martyred in the battle of Muta. Again, how much do we know of Islamic history? If we knew, I could have just given you reference and your mind would run, turning the pages of history. But do we know what was the battle of Muta, where the Nabi of Allah dispatched and he made Zayd ibn Haritha the Amir. And he said, if Zayd is martyred, then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib will take the flag. And if he is martyred, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha will take the flag. As they advanced, Zayd radiallahu anhu was martyred. Ja'far radiallahu anhu took the flag, he was martyred. Then Abdullah ibn Rawaha advanced. He was one of the greatest poets that Islam has ever seen. As he advanced, you must read those couplets and you will cry. He says, Ya habbaza al-jannati waqtirabuha, tayyibatun wabaridun sharabuha, warrumu rumun qaddana azabuha, kafiratun ba'idatun ansabuha. عَلَيَّ إِذَا لَاقَيْتُهَا ضِرَابُهَا. Oh Jannat, how close you are, how sweet your fragrance is, how soothing your drinks are, how wonderful your breeze is. I can actually see you. And oh Kafir, I can see the enemy coming. Your time is up. Oh Allah, spare me to smite these enemies. Then he addresses himself. He tells himself, يَا نَفْسُ مَا لَكِ تَكْرَهِينَ الْمَوْتِ. Oh my soul, what is the matter? Why are you reluctant to die? إِلَّا تُقْتَلِي تَمُوتِ. Listen, if you're not martyred, you're still going to die. Die the honorable way. Listen, if you're not martyred, you're still going to die. Die the honorable way. Ma tamannayti faqad u'titi. Whatever you've asked Allah, He gave you. Martyrdom is staring at you, present your life. So he was martyred. Nabi alayhi salam in the throes of death told his son, Usama ibn Zayd, that you take this expedition and avenge the death of your father. People started making these comments. When he heard about this, he got very angry. He gathered the people of his house and he told them that, listen, give me ghusl and then carry me to the masjid. I need to resolve this issue before I pass away. This was in the very last days. In fact, one of these days, there are few khutbahs that he delivered. One sahabi came and he said, O Nabi of Allah, the woman and the children are crying. So he asked, why are they crying? يَخَافُونَ أَن تَمُوتُ. O Nabi of Allah, the signs of death are becoming more and more apparent on you. So he went in the masjid. Again, he ascended the pulpit with the aid of two sahaba. Asiban ra'asahu. He had a bandage tied to his beloved head. تَخُطُّ قَدَمَاهُ. His beloved feet were being dragged because of his, health that was not permitting. And then he said, listen, these ansar stood with me in the early hours. My time is coming close to leave. فَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ شَيْئًا. Whoever takes the reins of my ummah after me, please be kind and reward my ansar. And whoever sees any wrong of them, overlook the ansar because of my closeness to them. Then he said, حَيَّاكُمُ اللَّهِ. He made such dua for them. May Allah guide you. هَدَاكُمُ اللَّهِ. رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. May Allah favor you. And he made a lot of dua in succession for the ansar. Anyway, he came to the masjid. He was aided by sahaba and he sat onto the pulpit. Sahaba say that was the last we seen him on that pulpit. After that till Qiyamah, he never ascended that pulpit. Can you imagine what an emotional feeling it must have been for sahaba? He said, مَا مَقَالَةٌ بَلَغَتْنِي أَنْ بَعْدِكُمْ فِي تَأْمِيرِ أُسَامَى. What comments am I hearing regarding my nomination of Usama? I'm hearing some nasty things circulating by my ears People are taking objection when I'm in the throes of death. Listen, people, listen. لَإِن تَعَنْتُمْ فِي إِمَارَةِ أُسَامَةَ لَقَدْ تَعَنْتُمْ فِي إِمَارَةِ أَبَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. If you have problem and you find fault in my nomination, I guess you had the same problem the day I nominated his father. وَإِنَّهُ لَخَلِيقٌ لِلْإِمَارَةِ. I swear by Allah, you might have your reservation, but I have my full trust in him. His father was most deserving for leadership, and now his son is most deserving. وَإِنَّهُمَا لَمُخَيَّلَانِ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And upon father and son descends every good. فَاسْتَوْسُوا بِهِ خَيْرًا. So derive every good from them. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ. Verily he is among the best from you. He said this and he descended. Thereafter he addressed his sahaba. He said, listen, my days are very few. Let me tell you, I have three messages to you. Subhanallah. أَلَا مَنْ كُنْتُ جَلَدْتُ لَهُ ظَهْرًا فَهَذَا ظَهْرِي فَلْيَسْتَقِدْ. If in my lifespan I have ever hurt or lashed anyone on his back, then tell him to come forward. I left my kurta, here is my bare back. Tell him to take revenge. If the Prophet of Allah can say that, I guess it will not be below the dignity of any man to resolve his matter here than resolve it there. This is my bare back, come and take it. And he didn't just say it, he literally meant it. There was a sahabi by the name of Usaid ibn Hudayr, who was a very jovial sahabi. He used to keep the crowds going. One day he was sitting with Nabi alayhi salam and he was entertaining them. And in that spirit of joke, Nabi alayhi salam took his blessed finger and he poked that sahabi. So when Nabi alayhi salam poked him, he said, "Awja'tani ya Rasulallah." "Oh Nabi of Allah, you hurt me." Nabi alayhi salam said, "My apologies." He said, "Well, oh Nabi of Allah, I need to take revenge." Sahaba became emotional. Said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, my back was bare and you have a kurta." So Nabi alayhi salam lifted it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted it, he fell on the seal of prophethood and he hugged it. And he kissed it. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I swear by Allah, I loved you. And I lived and I died. I was hoping that one day Allah must spare me this opportunity. Don't misinterpret my emotion towards you. I just wanted to hold and see that prophethood." He said, "Ala man kuntu shatamtu lahu irdan fa hadha irdi." Listen, if I've insulted you, I stand before you. Come and take satisfaction from me. "Ala man akhadtu lahu malan fa hadha mali." If I've ever taken your wealth, here is my money. Take your money and go. I don't want to have anyone claiming against me on the day of Qiyamah. It was in this few days of another very tragic thing. Thursday, Monday the Nabi of Allah passes away. That Thursday another very tragic thing had happened. While he was sitting in the room, he asked the Sahaba, he said, "Bring me a piece of paper, let me write down something." Now every day Sahaba were coming, the emotion wasn't there. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Qad ghalaba alayhi al-waj'u." I think he is not, you know, very well now and he's in a lot of pain. Let's just leave him now. Inshallah, when the Nabi of Allah gains his composure, we can always get that information back from him. So some sahaba said, "Give the paper and let him write." Others felt that, you know what, he's not in a stable health now. Indeed, it resulted in a bit of a dispute. The Nabi of Allah said, "I am not well. Qumu anni," stand up and go. "My health is not well and you are arguing before me. It is not good for me." This is referred to as a very lengthy aspect in the books of hadith. I don't have time to explore. Sayyidina Umar was the one who said this here. Among the deviated sects and groups that exist, they accuse Sayyidina Umar of the most nasty allegations because of this year. But we, that is the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we hold in high esteem the sentiments of Umar, and he did it in good interest. People claim to say, these are all nasty allegations, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to write the Khilafat, that after my death, Abu Bakr will not be in charge, and Umar will not be in charge. But this is sheer absurdity, because the riwayat of Bukhari substantiates it so beautifully, that he told Aisha, "Do me a favor, call Abu Bakr and call his son. And let me tell them that Abu Bakr will be in charge. لِكَيْ لَا يَتْمَعْ فِي أَمْرِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ طَامِعٍ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّى مُتَمَنِّنٍ." So after my death, nobody must envy the position of Abu Bakr. Then he said, "Okay, leave the paper." يَا أَبَى اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah won't allow it to happen otherwise. Allah won't allow it to happen otherwise. Abu Bakr will take in charge. He said this, "Your brothers, this was now Thursday. This happened, this incident. The day the health started deteriorating." He got up, he said, "Aisha, have they performed namaz? Asallan nas?" She said, "No, Nabi of Allah, it's Isha time." The last salah in his normal health was Maghrib, where he had performed wal-mursalat in that Maghrib salah. Asallan nas, did they read namaz? "No, Nabi of Allah, yantadirunak, they waiting for you." He said, "Okay, give me ghusl and let me go." They give the Nabi of Allah ghusl. Falamma dhahaba liyanu, he stands up again, he becomes unconscious. When he gains his consciousness, "Oh Aisha, have they performed namaz?" "No, Nabi of Allah, they are waiting for you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do me a favor, tell Abu Bakr to lead the congregation." Aisha said, I intervened for my father. I said, "No, Nabi of Allah, why don't you put someone else? I don't think my father has the strength the capacity, the vision, the integrity, that the position to come on your musalla while you're alive, it's an emotional situation. Oh, Nabi of Allah, tell Umar. Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, tell Abu Bakr. Then again Aisha intervened and she said, Inna Aba Bakrin Rajulun Bakka'a. You know, he is a person that will cry. It persisted. In the end, the Nabi of Allah said, tell Abu Bakr to go and perform. Abu Bakr performed 10 namazes according to some riwayat. Some riwayat suggest that he performed 20 namazes. On the last morning, I can tell you so much more. I don't have time. Look at my time. The Nabi of Allah, that Monday morning, he gets up, he opens the curtain, he glances, he comforts his heart that the entire congregation is in salah. As there is movement, there is a sense of joy from Sahaba that the Nabi of Allah is coming. Then he signals to them that you continue, I will not able to come forward. The salah is completed. There is a temporary phase of recovery. Everybody latches onto hope. Abu Bakr comes, he says, Asbahta mufiqan. Oh, Nabi of Allah, you're looking well today. Can I take permission? I promised my other wife who lived on the outskirts of Medina to spend the day with her. Since you've been terminally ill, I've been out of home. Can I go there? The Nabi of Allah says, you can go. Now this often happens that prior to the death of a person, there is a sense of recovery, you let on to hope, and then there is a relapse. Anyway, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes away. Umar and Ali return to business. Aisha says, he comes in my lap. It was that 10 minutes, and then it just started going down minute by minute, second by second. I seen the pangs intensifying. Fatima comes in there, and she looks at her father, and she says, Wa karbata abi. Ya Allah, how my father is suffering. How my father is going through pain. Nabi Sassam fetched his daughter Fatima, and he said, Laysa ala abi ki karabun ba'd al-yawm. Never mind, Fatima, it's the last day of your father's sufferings. Fatima, it's the last day, he's going onward, nothing will come after that. Aisha radiallahu anha said, my brother Abu Abdul Rahman came. He came with a miswak. I said, O Nabi of Allah, can I give you this? He signaled with his head. I put the miswak in my mouth, chewed with my saliva, then I gave. He took it. Just then Ali ibn Hussein says, we seen angels coming, Allahu Akbar, the riwayat of Tirmidhi. Sayyidina Jibreel came and Malakul Maut came together. Jibreel knocked on the door. He said, Ya Rasulallah, hada Malakul Maut, yasta'din. O Nabi of Allah, is the angel of death. He's asking permission to come inside. مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ عَدْمِيٍ قَبْلَكَ وَلَىٰ عَدَىٰ عَدْمِيٍ بَعْدَكَ. He never asked permission. First man is asking permission. Do you allow him to come? Nabi Sassam said, Jibreel, tell him to come inside. He comes inside, he sits down. Then Jibreel, the angel of death, says, Ya Rasulallah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْسَلَنِي إِلَيْكَ. Allah has sent me to you to take your soul. If you permit, very politely, I will take it out. If you decline, I respect your request, O Nabi of Allah. Nabi Sassam said, I lifted my gaze. I looked at Jibreel. Jibreel said, "Inna ya Muhammad, inna rabbaka ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. Your Allah is passionate to see you. Your Allah is waiting to meet you." Nabi Sassam says, then I just looked at Jibreel, the Malakul Maut, and I said, go ahead and do what you have to do. Malakul Maut comes, and the soul of the greatest human that history has ever seen is taken out. Brothers, when the soul comes out, can we imagine what it must have caused among Sahaba, the confusion? Abu Bakr comes running. Umar radiallahu anhu becomes hysterical. He kisses Nabi alayhi salam. He says, Tibta hayyan wa mayyita. My Nabi, you were unique when you were living and you are equally unique now that you have gone. Arrangements for the ghusl is made. Those that are given ghusl, they start debating, should we remove the clothes or not? Alqallahu alayhimun naum. Allah puts a sleep over them. They go into a trance. And in that they hear a voice calling out to them, don't remove his clothes, give ghusl to him as he is. Ghusl is given to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They come to Abu Bakr, do we perform janazah? He said, yes, janazah will be performed, but individually, who can become the imam of imams? The body was placed there, the men came and read and they went, the woman came and went. Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdirabbi comes. He said, oh Allah, these eyes were good when your Nabi was here. He's gone. What am I going to do with these eyes? Give me the honor that my last sight was your Nabi and make me blind on the spot. Allah, make me blind. I call upon this ummah. We are not asking Allah to make us blind. Allah, make us that these eyes don't ever see haram. Allah, let it when we return, it creates some consciousness in us. And then the time comes. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was in charge of digging the graves in Makkah. And Abu Talha, Zayd ibn Sahal was in charge of digging the graves in Medina. The body was brought. The grave was dug. And this body and this greatest amanat was lowered into the grave. What did Safiya radiallahu anha say? And I leave you with this couplet. She said, La amri ma abiki nabiyya li mawtihi, walakin li harajin ba'daka atiya. Oh Allah, we are not crying over the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we are crying about two things. One is the bond between man and Allah through revelation was continued at the death of any prophet, but has permanently terminated at the death of Nabi alayhi salam. We are crying at the challenge that is to stay at us. And then she said, فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ أَبَقَاكَ بَيْنَنَا سَعِدْنَا وَلَكِنْ أَمْرُهُ كَانَ مَاضِيًا. Allah, if you only spared him amongst us a bit longer, it would have been our fortune. But then again, we knew the reality had to prevail. Brothers, that is how the Nabi of Allah went. My question is, how am I going to go? How are you going to go? My Nabi said, every man will die in the manner he loves his life. The day you die in your normal life, there will be no difference. If your life is to get up daily after Fajr, and you miss your Fajr, I'm afraid the day you die, you will also miss your Fajr. If your daily routine is to get up, go in the bathroom and shave, I'm afraid, my brother, you will shave the day you're going to go in your grave to meet your Nabi. I'm afraid that is the reality that will stare at you. I swear by Allah, there will be no change in your routine. If your routine is to start with Quran, you will start with Quran. If your routine is to start by bowing before Allah, you will bow before Allah. Every man is concerned, what will happen to my children the day I die? Is it not high time we start thinking, what will happen to my children the day they die? Allah give us the reality. Wa akhir da'wana.